Blessing to know that y'all decided to come here this week and sow on this field for this whole week. I'm sure that God will bless you for that. But I want to warn you that if you came with this kind of heart and you sit here all week, let all these things be sown in there, you'll have a bit of confusion to work through in the days ahead. It kind of works that way, you know, and I believe that that's better than not being here. But I can assure you it'll probably wrought a little confusion in you until you come to grips with the things that God is planting in your hearts this week. Our prayer is that you'll come to grips with all of that while you're here. But the law of averages would tell us that there are some that are sitting here that may not. You may come to grips with it 6 months from now as the seeds that were sown begin to grow and dawn on you what God is really asking of you and calling you to. Well, I trust you got a good night's rest last night. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you went to bed between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock? Let me see your hands. All right, that's good. How many of you went to bed between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock? Let me see your hands. How many of you went to bed after midnight? Let me see your hands. I didn't see any hands, just the fingers went up. I gotcha. See, now, why does that guy get up there and say that every morning? Because I've been around for a while and I know how it is with young people, and it's just so nice to sit and visit with someone or a new acquaintance or an old friend, and before you know it, boy, that clock is ticking past midnight, and I know how it goes. Well, this morning, yesterday, we were in heaven, but today we're going to come down to earth in our meditations here on holiness. And it may have left a few of you a bit frustrated to leave you in heaven all day yesterday and this morning. And I'm sure that some of you grappled with some of that in your hearts as you realized, well, okay, here's this holy God and He's awesome, and I felt a trembling in my heart, and I felt like I'm not worth much, and you left me there all day. Well, it's true, you know, that I did, and I may leave you there yet another day before we get down to looking at the way of holiness. But I assure you that before we get done, you will be able to understand what God is saying to you, what God is calling you to, and you will even have a grasp on how to get there before we get done. But we have to keep laying some groundwork. And so this morning we're going to look at the subject of holiness in man. We look first of all at God's call to holiness. Yesterday we looked at the holiness of God. Now we want to look at the subject of holiness in man. In the book of Leviticus, as I told you yesterday, this word holy comes up several times. But God said to the children of Israel in Leviticus 20, 24 and 26, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people. Why? That ye should be mine. Isn't that beautiful? God says to Israel, and yes, we could say this morning that God says to you and I am the Lord your God. And I have separated you from other people. I'm not sure if you figured that one out yet, but God That is exactly what God has done with each and every one of us. He has separated us from other people. Maybe some more than others, depending on your heart's desire and depending on what kind of teaching ministry you've been under. But if you are a child of God today, God has separated you from other people. And He says, because of that, ye shall be holy unto Me. Because I'm the one that separated you. I have severed you from other people that ye should be Mine. And I think that in this verse this morning, we begin to get a glimpse of what holiness is in man. Because we want to begin in the right place here this morning with God saying to us, ye should be Mine. And there we find that word coming out again, the word ekklesia, the called out ones. But I would like us to notice that in the New Testament, it's the ekklesia of God. It's not just an ekklesia, because an ekklesia is just simply a called out assembly. But it's not just an ekklesia. It is an ekklesia of God. It is God's called out assembly. And I believe that sometimes some have even lost their way on this one, and they've taken the church and put it in a place where God is supposed to be. It's the ekklesia of God, not the ekklesia. Because God wants us to be His, and He has called us unto Himself. And God is pretty possessive with what He bought with a price, a precious price, the blood of His dear Son. He's pretty possessive with that which He has bought with that precious blood. Now consider with me this morning the purpose of redemption. You may have in your mind, as we said on Monday, some different ideas about what the purpose of redemption is. But the purpose of redemption is possession. When you look at redemption from God's perspective, it's possession. God has called you unto Himself. He has not called you to Christianity. He has called you unto Himself. He has not called you to a list of rules. He has called you unto Himself. He has not even called you to a religion of right living. He has called you unto Himself. And many times, young people get this thing a bit mixed up because they grow up in a Christian home, and because they grow up in a Christian home, and sometimes that Christian home isn't all that it ought to be, and they get the idea from their father and mother that Christianity is things you do and things you don't do. And that is part of Christianity, but that is not the central part of Christianity. The central part of Christianity is that God has called you out from a people and made you the people of God. And He has called you out of those other people unto Himself, that ye shall be Mine, saith the Lord. That ye shall be Mine. So the purpose of redemption is possession. God is calling you unto Himself. And the purpose of possession is likeness to. Likeness to. God is calling you to be like Himself. And hear these words. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We know the answer to that. It cannot be so. So the purpose of possession is likeness, because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. We've heard it said before, and it's a beautiful statement. Imitation is the highest form of admiration. And if you have been called unto God through the death of His Son, you've been reconciled unto God through the death of His Son, you're going to admire the God who has reconciled you through the death of His Son. And if you admire this God, you're going to want to be like Him. Even like it says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children, or you ought to want to be like your Father, which has birthed you into His family, who has adopted you through the blood of His dear Son into His family. You're going to want to be like your Father. So the purpose of possession is imitation and likeness. And also the purpose of possession is for full occupation. That's what possession is all about. We understand that very well, don't we? It doesn't take us long to see that thing lived out even in the smallest child's life. They understand that very well. The purpose of possession is full occupation. And sometimes it's a little hard to get them to give up their toy when they have a visitor coming their way, because they understand very well what the purpose of possession is. It's full occupation. It's mine. It's mine. And God understands very well the purpose of possession. It's mine. Ye shall be mine, saith the Lord. Have you heard the voice of God saying to your heart, mine, all mine? Are you ready for that? I so appreciated the message that was given last evening. I sat here last evening on the front row listening to Brother Phil preach, knowing what I'm going to say this morning. And I thought, well, amen, brother. That is exactly where we must begin. If we are going to understand at all holiness in man, where does holiness begin? It begins with a set apartness unto God. That's where it begins. Ye shall be mine, saith the Lord. And we need to come to grips with that. We said yesterday the Greek word for holy is hagios, which means to set apart. And this is holiness from man's perspective. There's a set apartness. Are you ready for that? You may say here this morning, well now, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. I'll wear some certain clothes. That's no problem. And if you want me to drive a certain kind of car, I'll be glad to do that. And if you want to tell me where I can go and where not to go, I'd even be glad to do that. But God is saying, no, no, no. You don't understand holiness. If that's where you begin, holiness is mine. Holiness begins when we, as the children of God, recognize that God has redeemed us for possession. And not everybody is ready for that. I have learned through the years that the flesh will gladly do things compared to a total occupation of the God, the sovereign God of the universe, who's going to sit on the throne of your heart and rule your life from this day forward. Not everybody is ready to do that. But if we're going to understand holiness at all, we're going to have to understand that that is where it's going to begin. When we are willing to allow the sovereign God, that God that we looked at yesterday, who sits on that throne and orders all things after the counsel of His own will, when we are willing to let that God sit on the throne of our heart and begin to rule our life and tell us what we're going to do, like we heard our brother share with us last night, when we get to that place, we have just taken the first step on holiness. And until we get to that place, you are off the foundation. And many people are off the foundation. I want to quickly say that. Whether it was that you didn't see it clear in your home, or whether you have even been taught what holiness is from a false precept, and many have been, there are actually people who do believe in their heart. It is part of their theology, their doctrine of holiness, that if they put this on and and maybe put this on. They're holy. This is how you be holy. And if we begin there, I tell you, my friends, we are way off the foundation. I'm not saying that you won't end up there. But if we begin there and we begin to think in our minds, okay, we're growing up now. We're becoming a young man. We're becoming a young lady. I want to be holy. I'm going to put on the clothes. There are actually small denominations in this area, in this Pennsylvania area, that is how they look at conversion. They even call it that. Yeah, I remember the day that I put on the clothes. What a joke. What a mock to the awesome doctrine and reality of salvation. I remember the day when I put on the clothes. Best thing that person could do is get those, quote, holy clothes off and go back down into the barrel one more time till they can look up at the God of heaven and say, God, would you somehow, some way, have mercy on my sinful heart and save my soul? That's where you want to begin. So I've learned that the flesh is very glad to do some things. It'll even do some hard things just as long as you let him live and do what he wants and satisfy himself and feed himself and enjoy himself and all of that. He'll do a few things like that. But God is calling us to a total occupation. For His sake, I separate myself from all other loves, from all other motives, from all other plans and purposes, and I separate myself unto Him. Now you're beginning to get a glimpse of what holiness is from man's perspective. And you see, it must be a bit different. We looked at the holiness of God yesterday, but we are not God today. We are men and women. We are like Isaiah. So I separate myself. For His sake I separate myself from all other loves, from all other motives, from all other plans and purposes. And I realize that that can be a bit of a big pill to swallow when you're 17 or 18 or 20 years old. And I mean, you know, this thing just started settling in on you, you know. Your independence and you can go where you want and you can do your own things and you can buy your own car and choose it and go to a store and buy this or buy that. I realize I've given you a big pill, some of you. But I want you to thoroughly know what holiness is from man's perspective. We must begin right here. When God says, I want you to be holy, this is part of what He means. Separate yourself from all other loves and all other motives and all other plans and purposes. That's what He means. I am the Lord your God, and I am holy, and therefore ye shall be holy. You shall be set apart from all other loves and all other plans and all other motives and separated unto me. I am the Lord your God. And I am holy. Second of all this morning, holiness in man is absence of sin. Absence of sin. Now when we looked at the holiness of God yesterday, we didn't give this part. And I want you to know that that was a well thought out move that I made. God is not holy because of there's an absence of sin. God is holy because of who He is. And it's all on the positive side. But when we begin to look at holiness from man's perspective, we have to then begin to say, holiness is an absence from sin, of sin. God is God, and all on the positive side, He is all perfect purity. When Isaiah saw God in His perfect purity, in His holiness, in that He was so set apart and so otherworldly than anything that Isaiah had ever seen because of His perfect purity. Isaiah being a creature like you and I, a man with a sinful nature, Isaiah being that and looking at this God who was perfect and pure, that is what caused him to fall on his face and say, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah needed cleansing, and sin had to go. It had to go. And young people, you need to understand this, that in this whole doctrine of holiness, holiness, the holiness that God is calling you to, is a holiness where you are clean and free from sin. And by that I'm not saying that you're sinlessly perfect and you will never sin again. I'm talking about being clean and staying clean. We want to put it in its right place this morning. God has made the provision for you to make yourself clean and for you to stay clean. And that, my dear young people, is holiness. And some of you need a bath. And we pray that God, through this week, will bring you up to that place where you are ready and willing to take a bath. And what is the motive? I want to be clean for my God who has called me unto Himself. I want to be clean for my God who has called me unto Himself. Holiness, from man's perspective, is freedom from sin. One of the greatest reasons why Jesus died, that He might free you from your sin. His name shall be called Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins, it says, I believe, in the book of Matthew. And I want to hasten to say, and we'll say a little more about it later on, but when you decide that you are going to wash yourself for the sake of the God who has called you unto Himself, that will have some outward changes that will take place, because you cannot get clean unless you are willing to repent. And repentance is a change of heart which brings about a change of action in your life. So, we want you to know that this holiness that was in heaven yesterday is coming down to earth today, and it will get even more down to earth before we get done today. Because it is a practical holiness that God is calling us to, but we want to see it in its proper order. Turn with me to John. John chapter 17. As we see some of the purpose that our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for. John chapter 17 and verse 19 and 20. Jesus says, we're breaking into the middle of His high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father, and He says to the Father, and for their sakes, He's pointing to His disciples, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Why? That they also might be sanctified through the truth, or sanctified truly. And then look at the next verse that he prays. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So what Jesus is saying is, the reason why I'm going to the cross, the reason why I'm sanctifying myself, the reason why I'm setting myself apart to do the will of God, is that they may be holy. Jesus had to go to the cross so that you could be holy. There's no way that you and I could be holy except that Jesus would go to the cross and sanctify Himself there, and set Himself apart there, and do the will of God there, and die there on that cross, and shed His blood there, so that you could be sanctified truly by the truth and by the Spirit of the living God. So, as we're looking at this matter of holiness in man, we have to come to grips with the fact that holiness in man is absence of sin. It was very interesting to me as I read John 17, and of course I've read it many times, but I read it in light of this subject that we're discussing here today, that most of His high priestly prayer centered around the holiness of His disciples. That they would be set apart. That they would be kept from evil. That they would be kept in this world. That they would be kept holy in the midst of an unholy world. That they would be set apart by His love. That was what He was praying. It wasn't enough just to have them. Look at verse 9 and 10 in that prayer. As He begins His prayer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Look at that possession. They are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. But it wasn't enough just to have them. He begins to pray for them that the Father would release upon them all that is needed for them to be kept, for them to have joy, for them to be purified, for them to be sanctified, for them to be filled with the glory of God, for them to be filled with the union of God, for them to be filled with the unity of God. And yea, then eventually for them to be with Him in heaven someday. But it wasn't enough just to possess. You see, because what God possesses, He must make into His own likeness. Because God is holy. Well, thirdly, holiness in man is being filled with God's holy character. Holiness is the absence of the negative, but it's also the presence of the positive. It is both. Now with God, holiness was the presence of the positive. But we are not God. We are like Isaiah. And therefore for us, it's a combination of the two of those. It's the absence of the negative, but also the presence of the positive. It is being filled with God. God is wisdom. And He wants us to be full of His wisdom. God is love, and He wants us to have this quality of love in our own hearts. God is powerful, and He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I could just go down a big long list here this morning, but I took those three so that you understand what I'm saying. God is all those things, and God wants us to be filled with love, to be filled with His power, to be filled with His wisdom, just like the early disciples were there in the book of Acts, which we'll say more about later on in the week. But there they were. And listen to some of the descriptions that they gave of these men who were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were full of faith and power. They were full of faith and wisdom. They were filled full of the power of God. They were filled full of the wisdom of God. They were filled full of the character of God, because they were filled full of the Holy Ghost of God. Holiness. From man's perspective, young people, is to be filled with God's holy character. Do not settle for anything less than that. Don't settle for it. I mean, if you don't get anything else done in your young life, if you don't have anything in your pocket when you're done, bless God, young men and women, make sure you're filled with God's holy character. You're going to need it when you face a real world. And by the way, this is a lifelong pursuit. A lifelong pursuit. And it never gets over. And that's okay. Because it's a blessing. And it's beautiful. And it's lovely. To those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. To those that are coming to the light. To those that are longing to be like the one who has called them unto Himself. So it's okay. If it's a lifelong pursuit, that's all right. I promise you, the rewards are an eternity long. And it'll make your lifelong look like nothing anyway. And when you get to glory, you'll be glad for every hour that you spent pursuing this beautiful, heavenly, holy goal of God's beautiful character in your heart and in your life. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, and we won't read the verses now because I want to read them probably tomorrow, says, "We behold the glory of the Lord and are changed into what we see." Remember? We talked about the glory of God. We talked about the holiness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "We behold the glory of God and we are changed into the same image." That's beautiful. We read the verses on Monday in Romans chapter 8 that we are to be conformed into the image of God's Son. May these holy desires rise up inside of our hearts, and may God use these teachings this week to create a holy desire in your heart to want to be like God. And may God also put within your heart a holy dissatisfaction for where you are at. Because you will never pursue these beautiful goals if you are satisfied where you are at. May God shake us and wake us up and put a holy dissatisfaction inside of us that causes us to rise up and cry out to God for His holy character to be written on the tables of our hearts. Oh, by the finger of God, His holy character written on the tables of our hearts. Fourthly, holiness in man is living a life of holy actions. Living a life of holy actions. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have a real life to live, and this thing will get practical if it's for real in our hearts. It will get practical. But are you beginning to see how the whole thing works? Are you beginning to grasp it? It's not me sitting down and telling you, you go read your Bible. No. No, that's not what it is. There's some other things that need to take place before that's going to have much effect upon you. Now, it may have a little effect upon you, but you are not going to get your mileage out of that Bible unless you see God's order. I saved this point for last because we want the proper order, and it's very important. First of all, we cleanse ourselves from sin through repentance and faith in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from there, having cleansed our hearts in His precious blood, after that, we set ourselves apart unto God, unto this God who called us unto Himself. And from there, we set our hearts that we might be conformed into the image of His Son and have Him write upon the tables of our heart the very character of God. And then out of that cleansing from sin and that set apart attitude which says, I have left behind my goals, my plans, my purposes, my life for His life. Out of that and that holy character that He writes upon my heart, these holy actions begin to flow. They begin to make their way outside. And brothers and sisters, if you'll get point 1, 2, and 3 right, you won't have to worry much about point number 4. It will be there, and you won't have to have somebody else come up to you and say, oh, why aren't you doing this? I saw you going over there. You won't need that. Now, I believe that if you aren't where I'm talking about, you need somebody to watch over you until you get there. But oh, may God give us fathers and mothers and leaders in churches the wisdom to hold you right to the wire until your heart is sold out to the God who has called you. Then all those things, they will begin to come. Oh, they'll come so beautifully. They'll be there, and they won't be there because Dad told you to do it, and it won't be there because the preacher told you to do it, and it won't be there because the rules of the church told you to do it. And I believe that a church ought to have some rules, but it won't be there because of those things. It'll be there because you are sanctified and set apart in your heart and in love with the God who saved your soul. It will be there because of that. And the motive will be pure like the actions will. Holiness in man is living a life of holy actions that flow out of a holy heart. It's not right to imitate holy actions without having a holy heart. Did you get that? It's not right to imitate holy actions without a holy heart. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. A lot of people soothe their conscience with a few holy actions, but they don't have a holy heart. And I mean, some of them do it for years. I mean, they go to church, you know, and they carry their Bibles, and some of them even teach Sunday school classes, you know, and they teach from here and not here. And that's not hard to do. But those are holy actions without a holy heart. And I wonder if it doesn't stink in the nostrils of a holy God. It's a bit like the Old Testament. Maybe we could say it that way. You're living in the Old Testament instead of the New. See, in the Old Testament, God said to His people, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and do this, and do this, because I am holy, and you shall be holy. And that's how God approached them in the Old Testament. But now, brothers and sisters, the power of a Spirit-filled life has come, and that will not reach anymore. Are you living in the Old Testament? You see, the order is very important. The Pharisees had all the laws together. And they were even making a bunch of new ones. And all the while they were making them, they were thinking, God is holy, and we've got to do this. God is holy, and we must do this. God is holy, and we can't do this. But Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was He saying? There's got to be something more than that. The power of an endless life has come to your heart and your life. The power of a holy God has come to dwell in the hearts of human beings through the blood of Christ. And those holy actions without a holy heart are no longer acceptable. And lastly, this morning, as we're looking at holiness in man, we must look at our Lord Jesus Christ. We must look at Him this morning. In Jesus Christ, divine holiness became human holiness. In Jesus Christ, that divine holiness that we looked at yesterday took upon Himself human form. And we must look at that if we're going to look at holiness in man. We must look at that. Jesus was called by the demons, Thou Holy One of God. They knew who He was, and they knew what that word was too. And they had the right evaluation of Him when they said, Thou Holy One of God. And He told them, you be quiet. You be quiet. Turn to John chapter 1. John said, we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. Oh, let's see. Where shall we read here? Let's start in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Awesome. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But oh, listen to the next verse. Hallelujah. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. As many as received Him, as many as opened their heart to Him, as many as allowed Him to become their Lord and Savior, as many were willing to set their hearts apart upon Him,
gave you power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And young people, you better make sure that you have that one right before this week is out. Make sure that you are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Make sure you are born of God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let me read it this way and just leave the parentheses out, if I may. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. What a definition of holiness! And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and full of truth. That is a beautiful definition of holiness, isn't it? Isn't that exactly the way it was yesterday as we gazed upon Him who sat upon the throne? He was full of grace and He was full of truth. And power was emanating forth from Him and truth was coming out of Him, and all of the character of God was emanating forth from His being and caused the angels there that were in heaven in the throne room to cry, "Holy, holy, holy." But now we're looking at the Son of God. Now we're looking at the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And John's testimony was He was full of grace. He was overflowing with grace, and He was full of truth. He was overflowing with truth. Grace was emanating out of His life in every direction, and truth was emanating out in every direction. What a beautiful, practical, well-balanced picture of human holiness. That awesome, heavenly, perfectly pure holiness has come down to earth. What a precious gift God gave to us, brothers and sisters. Aren't you glad He didn't leave you there on your face like Isaiah, trembling to even look at this awesome glory that was shining at Him? Aren't you glad He didn't leave you there? But notice this perfectly pure holiness that has come down to earth. Notice that everything is there. The absence of sin is there. The totally set apart unto God is there. The full of divine character is there. And the outshining of a holy life, it's there. It's all there in one person that you and I can look at. The only thing that is different is the glory has changed. The outshining has changed, hasn't it? And I don't understand all of even what I'm saying to you this morning, but the outshining has changed. The God who shines out His glory has come out of that glory and robed Himself in human flesh so that you and I can look at it, and we can look at His character, and we can see how it walks and how He talks and how He lives and how He responds and how He lives in a real world. Just like the real world that you and I live in. He has robed Himself in human flesh. The fire is not there now. The glow from the glory world, it is not there. The beautiful shining colors that
emanated out from Him yesterday. You do not see that.
But the beautiful, perfect purity and character of a holy God is there. And the outshining, there is glory. It's there. But it's not a bright light. It's a holy light. Something that we can look at. The divine character is there and it's emanating forth from Him in a way that we can see, that we can look upon it, that our hands can handle of the Word of life. All of you longing hearts, let us thank God together this morning for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? If God would have left it all the way we looked at it yesterday, we would stay on our faces and we would just stay on our faces and we would stay on our faces. But God has come out of that shining glory that makes man fall on his face like a dead man and robed Himself in human flesh that we can get up off of our faces and with a longing heart gaze upon the life of the Lord Jesus and see the character of Almighty God lived out in human flesh. What a gift is ours! I wonder if we realize what God has done for us who are longing to be holy. God has not asked us to do something that we can't do. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? God is not asking us to do something that we cannot do. God is not that way. To hold out in front of you all the days of your life and torment you and make you miserable, reaching for something that you cannot touch. God has not done that. But I want to tell you this morning, we're going to have to do it His way. It may be that that is exactly what your experience has been. And sometimes you wondered whether God was dangling something out in front of you like a carrot on a stick, you know, with a donkey, and He keeps reaching for it and He can never reach it, but it's always there in front of His eyes. Maybe that's been your experience, and maybe you have been tempted to think that God has not been fair, and maybe you have said, this thing doesn't work, but I tell you this morning, it does work, but we must come God's way. We must do it God's way. See, we need to get done with our own ways. We need to get done with ourselves. We need to get done with our strivings. We need to get done with all of our want-tos and all of our tryings and all of our strugglings and all of our strivings. We need to get done with that and come to the place where we're willing to do it God's way. And when you come to that place, blessed be God, I can promise you on the authority of God's Word, and God is a God who does not lie. You will find this beautiful, holy, lovely, bright, outshining character of a holy God being lived out in your life. Yes, yours. You will find it. It is there. You must be willing to come God's way. God's way. Let us kneel together in prayer. Oh, our Father, we bow before You. We take our place, Lord, on our knees. Father, we praise You this morning for the provision that You've made. We thank You, Father, that You have laid it out very clearly in the Word for us, what You want for us. and how we can get there, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that You would just take us on from where we were yesterday and cause a faith to begin to rise in our hearts, Lord. A faith to rise in our heart. Lord, move us out of that realm of despair, Lord, that we felt yesterday, just an utter undoneness, God. And Lord, let faith begin to rise in our heart. Could it be? Could it be that I can be holy in this world? Father, I pray, just stir that in our hearts, Father. And God, I pray also that You will continue to prepare our hearts for the things that we need to hear tomorrow and on Friday, Lord. You started last night with the sermon, and I thank You for that. And God, You're dealing with us, and Lord, through other teachers and preachers, Father, You're plowing and You're preparing, Father, the hearts, the soil. Lord, I pray You'll continue to do that. That when it's all said and done, we can say, I'm on the highway of holiness. I know where I'm going. And I am going there with all of my heart. Bless these dear young people, Father. Take these words and translate them to their own hearts, where they are at, in their own experiences, each individual one. We pray in the name and through the blood of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.